Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. I'm really pleased to have Anthony Franco here on the show. He's an entrepreneur and started some AI companies and has a founder's podcast himself. And so I think we're in for a good conversation here. But Anthony, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'll try to be brief here. I'm a serial entrepreneur. My hobby is actually entrepreneurship. I've started and exited six of my own businesses, two to public companies. Now I haven't decided what I want to do next, so I'm doing a bunch of different little things. Like, I help entrepreneurs sell their businesses as an M&A advisor. I'm doing some AI strategy work with a company called OneReach and AI First Principles. And I run my own podcast for no other reason, not to monetize it, because there's no money in this, but just because I love to be around other entrepreneurs.
Yeah, amazing. So that's interesting that you exited a lot of companies. Like, what are some of the key takeaways, like a brief key takeaways you could share of, you know, how best to exit your own company?
Yeah, that question is, tell me what the best way to find a wife is. It's such a personal decision. It's different for everybody. So coming up with advice on, I always get asked, when's the right time to exit? I don't know. What I can tell you is every entrepreneur, every business owner will exit their business at some point, either by choice or not by choice. So it's better to have a plan than not. But the key takeaways from, let me give you some practical advice. So what are the things that need to be in place in order for you to sell your business? One, you probably need to be profitable, unless you're like 0.001% of the businesses that are being valued on their unprofitable revenue. You need to have a way for the new owner to take over the business so it doesn't need you. So essentially, you need to do your very best to work your way out of a job in your business before you sell. That's not always true, but it's better than not. Really clean books. Hire a good CPA, good bookkeeper. Make sure that everything's properly categorized. And another thing that put yourself in the shoes of somebody that's going to buy your business and ask yourself, why would somebody buy this business? And what would I pay for it? So those are a few like low-hanging fruit tips.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Yeah, you're right. At some point, we're all going to exit, because we certainly won't live forever. And at the point, we're exiting one way or the other. So I read briefly your AI first principles, which you want to share that with the audience?
Sure. So let me give you a little backstory. Most of the companies that I started and exited were tech. Early, one of the things that I'm most known for is starting a company called Effective. We sold to a large advertising holding company, and we were user experience agency. So we designed UIs for Fortune 1000 companies. And my fellow co-founder in that started a company called OneReach about 10 years back. And OneReach is an AI orchestration platform. And it's the leader in the space if you're an enterprise, right? If you're an enterprise, you're going to hire OneReach and use their platform to orchestrate your agents within your organization. And he asked me to help him come in. About a year ago, he asked me to come in and help him develop some go-to-market strategies. And I went native in the company for a while and understood how they delivered for their enterprise customers. And the way they delivered was really super unique. It wasn't a technology conversation. It was a business and design conversation, typically when they started. The first rule of developing AI for your organization is don't automate the crappy ways you do things now, right? Automate what you should be doing, not what you are doing. So it involves a deep conversation about the business and what should be done and who should be doing it. So I documented all of this stuff and came up with the one reach way, in quotes, and then went to Rob, the owner, and said, you know, we should open source this. This is really unique and novel. And he agreed. And that's really how AI First Principles was launched. So it's essentially the idea of when you're going to operationalize AI within an organization, what's the mindset? What are the principles that you need to have before you do that? And then I built another thing called the Wiser Method, which is like the how, right? AI First Principles are the principles and the why and the mindset. And then Wiser is like the how behind implementing those AI First Principles.
And you want to share a little about that, the how you implement some of this?
Yeah, it goes back to my... I swear to you, I didn't start out this way, but it goes back to design thinking and understanding the WISER stands for ask why, identify waste. Subtract. So simplify and subtract. Why am I blanking on the E? I'm totally blanking. Evolve.
Evolve, yeah.
Essentially evolve your processes so that they can be automated. And then R is redesign and automate. So essentially you got to look through your organization, look through your processes, understand what's not working, ask why a lot, get in the weeds with your organization. Then you identify where the waste is. Then you really work on simplifying and subtracting things that don't work. Working all the way through to now, once you understand the system in its entirety, now you're at a place where you can really design the automation for the business.
Yeah, AI is changing everything. We're into user-centered design, UX, and now our designers, it's not just like screen workflows anymore, but it's also, okay, how can you make this easy and accessible just through AI, and AI being the smartest person of your application? Do you go through some of that thought process? Are you?
Well, it's not just us, right? It's like Sam Altman just bought Johnny Ive's firm for $6.5 billion. For design. Yeah. Johnny Ive's firm is a design firm. So I think I'm going to say Sam Altman stole my idea and say that he recognized that design and creative thinking is really the differentiator when it comes to AI. So the things that we don't like to do as people are going to be taken over by AI, the repetitive tasks, the things that you can't screw up on, the detail-oriented things. And one of the I call it the prime directive of the AI First Principles. If you're a Star Trek fan, you know what that means. And the prime directive is everybody's talking about AI is going to replace people. It's not, because it's going to be our responsibility to define the objectives. And when something goes wrong, a CEO is not going to let anybody say it's the AI's fault. That's not that, because how do you hold an AI accountable? You're going to have somebody that is accountable for what the AI does. So we're going to be responsible for what the AI output is. And that comes back to, what did we tell the AI to do? In other words, how well did we define the objectives? So defining objectives is the first principle.
Yeah, that's interesting, because some people say AI's productivity, and then, or AI is workforce replacement. And sounds like you come in, it's probably both. It's, or do you have a different point of view? Like, it's aiding in the productivity of the workforce, or is it also replacing labor?
It's the easiest analogy that I can come up with. And it's a terrible one because the scale is a lot different, but it's when the calculator was invented, did the calculator replace accountants? No, it just allowed an accountant to do more work faster. It multiplied their productivity. That's what AI is going to do. AI is going to multiply human creativity. It's why I think Musk calls it the age of abundance, because we're all going to be able to produce way faster. So the reason why I paused there is because I'm remembering something that Sam Altman said just recently. It was a little picked up quote where he was talking about the idea person. The idea person is the person that we used to make fun of, right? Because they were all ideas and no execution. Execution's now being handled or slowly being consumed by AI. So now the idea person, if you have good ideas, the power is kind of now in your hands because you have the ability to execute without having to hire a technical co-founder.
Yeah. And there's probably degrees of that. You know, actually, getting back to design, what kind of the device is going to be no screen, which is amazing. AI is changing everything in terms of user interface and user experience. And so it's going to listen, it's going to respond, it's going to talk, but no screen. And at least that's the kind of assumption on the device that that they're going to build. Do you have any?
Yeah. Open AI advice. Yeah.
Yeah. Device, yeah. 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 So like the whole user interface now is just like voice and on both sides. But yet I think people still need to see things, but do you have any insight into, why are they building that device? What kind of device they're going to build, or any thoughts around that?
So I can tell you what I would want. I don't have any idea what they're going to build. And what I want is probably going to creep most people out, right? I want an AI to listen to everything that I do and see everything that I see so that I can remember and connect more dots than I currently can.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's creepy. I think that's pretty valuable.
Well, it's creepy because now you have Big Brother, right? You have Big Brother watching in on you and you have to trust AI, which I can see why a lot of people don't want to. Like I've asked my mom, my mother-in-law, everybody older than me, would you let a car drive you around if it's self-driving? And they're like, no way, I wouldn't trust it. When in reality, it's way safer.
Yeah.
But there's still that big hurdle that AI is going to need to get over, or it may not ever get over it, of trust and responsibility.
Yeah, it is valuable that the more you interact with ChatGPT, it has memory and it knows more about your thought process, your company, your style, your everything, then it actually is more valuable in its output and its answers. So
it's unbelievable. It's almost scary. Like, I don't make any big decisions anymore without asking multiple AIs.
Yeah, that's also smart. Yeah, just vetting the answer with another AI is also really smart. And then there's so much hype. You said earlier that, I do agree with you. Builders and ideas and creativity, now it's lowering the bar from idea to product or service or execution. But then there's like hype. I don't need a chief technical officer anymore. Or you still, like, there's that gap between what you can produce and then what is like commercially viable if you're going to go to market with a product or service. How fast do you think that gap's going to close between, I have an idea and is actually going to build a commercial level code base to support that idea?
I don't know of any. So we're right now, any developer that's not using AI is a dinosaur in helping them code. The advantage that developers that use AI now is they can produce a lot more code faster, but they also, if you're classically trained in computer science, you also are vetting properly the code that AI has written because AI still hallucinates.
Yeah.
I also think developers have an advantage because the way we think, the way they think, I'm no longer a developer, but the way developers think, the logic of instruction makes you prompt better. Being specific in what you want in the output. When you're coding, it trains your mind in a certain way that most of us don't. Most people haven't gotten in their regular education or don't have to come across in your everyday life. I'm dancing around your question. I apologize, but I don't know if there's a really solid. I can't predict the future,
but I
do think. And you also said technical co-founder. You don't need a CTO. Yeah, you do. Because you need somebody responsible for what the code is, what the AI produces.
Yes. Going back to your other statement, which I thought was really good, that you leverage AI as a team member, partner, can output a lot of different capabilities in running a business or building something. But yeah, you need someone responsible, vetting, validating, and orchestrating. You still need executives, you still need management, and that now you have an AI on the team. But that's amazing. Changing things a little bit, like, what do you have any thoughts around packaging, pricing models? Like, everything seems to be changing now with people going to market with an AI and people service, and then we'll take costs out of your P&L and then we both share in that, or where, hey, we'll just license you our software the old-fashioned way, or we'll be based on business outcome pricing, or oh, now in the future there's gonna be so many AI services competing against each other that drives costs down. Any thoughts of or experiences around packaging and pricing AIs?
I think AI is going to continually get more expensive, not less expensive.
Oh, interesting.
Think of the investors that are investing in AI are going to have to get a return on that investment somehow. Now, and the market is only so large. Now, it's still in its infancy and there's still a lot more to grow, but trillions are being invested in AI, which means somebody's going to have to bear that cost at some point. And so I do think it's going to continually get a little bit more and a little bit more expensive. First, we're going to hit the bottom, and then it's going to crater. And then at some point, some companies are going to start going out of business because they can't provide the inference at a cost that makes sense profitably. And so costs are going to slowly increase. Now, the only way that I'm going to be wrong is that Moore's Law accelerates, not decelerates, and the cost of inference, because the hardware has gotten so much less expensive. So I could be wrong there, but so that's my hypothesis. When it comes to pricing for me, the strategically thinking about pricing for any company comes down to the amount of trust, the trust fall you're asking your customers to make. And so these creative pricing models where you're saying, you don't, we'll take a, we'll eat what we kill, essentially, right? I'm not going to charge you up front. I'm going to charge you in your savings or your revenue lift or whatever else. That's a tactic to get companies to trust that company so that it's low risk for that company to take on. I tend not to believe in that kind of strategy only because if it doesn't cost your, if you're an AI company and it doesn't cost your customer to try you out, then how really invested are they in the result? Like it's, yeah, why not? Let's try it and give it a shot. But going back to our first conversation about not automating the wrong things, like they have to be invested in the implementation, and the cost of implementing AI, the cost of the platform is a fraction of what the total overall cost is going to be because you have to really reorganize and re-engineer your company.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's amazing these AI first companies, how fast they're getting ARR and growing and then displacing incumbents. And then it's hard to decipher how much are they keeping of that in profits is giving to the LLMs. And then is that really sustainable? And is it really IP and a moat for their business? But it's amazing. Like, we're all like, wow, how did someone go in 4 months to 100 million ARR? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, what's the recent company that just did that? There's been a bunch, right? But it is
Yeah, more than one.
it's fascinating, but you're right. It's like, are they just adding a unique prompt to ChatGPT API and therefore their margins are really low? Therefore
Yeah.
their 100 million in ARR is really 5
10
million
million.
because
Yeah.
95 of it's going to OpenAI. I don't know. I don't know how I haven't had a chance to look under the book, look under the hood. And then there's the company, and I can't remember the name of it, that just went bankrupt because they got billions of dollars in investment. Turns out they weren't using AI at all. They were mechanical turking everything with
Oh yeah,
developers out of
that was
India.
Builder.ai.
Yeah.
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 That was a terrible scam.
Terrible skill. But how did nobody catch that?
Yeah, I mean
How
even
did nobody
Microsoft
vet that?
invested in
It's
that.
unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, I think like you hear some good investors and then you assume they did the diligence, which is still not good best practice, but no one did enough diligence on them. And it's
Yeah.
funny, a private equity called me that was thinking about investing in them, and we talked to them about it, and then we talked them out of not investing in that, and they thanked us afterwards after
Nice.
the news
Nice. Good
hit,
to have
you
that
know.
win under your belt. Yeah.
Yeah,
What, so curious, why did you say not to? What was the flag for you?
we look like, because we build app builder AI, we build app building code generation and leverage AI as well, and so we were familiar with their user interface, and it just promise so much, and then it just start ticking up the bill. Basically, they had a UI that you can interactively build your app, add all kinds of services, and then it gets them 280,000. And then we knew, like, you could tell where resources are deployed, and there was a lot of resources deployed in India. And so there, it was like, some of it was just not, like, really, as you vetted it a little bit, it wasn't believable.
And, it didn't smell right.
And then they had a history of pivoting and pivoting too. That was, I don't know, there was like just some questionable areas. We didn't have any deep insight, but we just said to be really careful there. And so, yeah, that's shocking. It is a shocking how much money they raised and how they fooled some important investors.
Yeah, when somebody like you who spends any amount of time working with the tool will realize it's smoke and mirrors. Yeah.
And then there's so much hype. And so much, that's the hard thing. There's so much hype and value, and everyone's racing to build a business. And then there's also so much amazing tech and reality and value that you're getting. And like, we use a lot of AI in our business, but it's, yeah, the only way to know is just try it. Like, truly, the only way to know is use the tools,
yes,
see the value, and then you can like assume how much you want to pay and the value it'll deliver. And because there's just too much hype.
Yeah. Well, to overcome the hype, I will tend to ask AI. I'll ask ChatGPT. I'll ask Grok. I'll ask Claude. If I'm like, you can just ask it. If I'm going to develop an AI company, what is likely going to be a feature in the next year that I should avoid? That's going to be just part of ChatGPT, and what is going to be truly novel ideas? And AI will come back with some really interesting ideas.
Yeah, I'll have to try that, because that's the other kind of difficult thing. Anthropic and Windsurf and Cursor and all these coding tools. Like, at what point do you need to keep growing top line as the LLM and you hurt your partners? And it's an unknown right now. Like, how, even though they say we will never do that, but I don't know.
They've done it already. All of them have done it.
Yeah.
But that's also bad on the startup, because so the startups that they're overcoming, because gone are the days where you can build an entire company around a feature.
Yeah.
They're just gone. That's just gone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult though, as you're like racing to build out to leverage the AI, where's your IP and capability? And so it becomes difficult. It is difficult, even no matter how good of a product strategist or company strategist you are. It's not easy.
There's also some really interesting new case law around IP and AI. And I saw this on the Age of Invisible Machines podcast, and they had an IP lawyer talking about the new position that the USPTO has around IP. If essentially, the way I understood it, and I'm not an attorney, but if an AI generates it, you can't patent it, trademark it, or copyright it. Period.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So you can copyright the prompt, but you can't copyright the output. You can't protect what AI produces. It's fascinating.
I'll have to read up on that. Another kind of interesting thing too, just in the news this morning, was like Salesforce and Slack have slowed down their API delivery of data because they want their own agents to deliver on that. And they don't want the data to flow out of their system so quickly. So they've literally have slowed down the responsiveness of their API. They have a competitive advantage around their data.
Those bastards. Of course they're going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a crazy world now. What question didn't I ask you that you wish I would have asked you?
I'd love to chat for a second about the podcast that I'm doing for entrepreneurs.
Sure.
So I think I said this, my hobby is entrepreneurship, right? I don't golf. I don't play tennis. I don't fish. I don't tool around in my workshop. I just love entrepreneurs. Me and a couple of fellow entrepreneurs have started a podcast called How to Founder. And it's just howtofounder.com if you want to follow us. And we take a deep dive on a single entrepreneurial topic every episode. So essentially we're writing a reference manual for entrepreneurs doing it through podcasts. In just a little bit, we're talking about technical debt. Like, we're going to talk about how to avoid technical debt, but we've talked about developing your mission and vision statement. We've talked about how to fire an employee that's stealing from you. We've talked about retaining talent. We've talked we just do a deep dive on a single subject with the intent of eventually writing a book out of it. But in the meantime, we're just having a great time talking to subject matter experts on areas that founders should care about.
Yeah, awesome. That sounds like very valuable. And what's the URL again? What was
It's
it?
just howtofounder.com.
Okay, great, great. Yeah, I'm sure
Yeah.
our audience will be interested in checking that out.
Amazing.
So what's next for you? Is it staying with the podcast or what's next for you?
Yeah, definitely with the podcast. I really think that AI first principles and the Wiser method has some legs. So I'm going to see how I can make that a broader effort across communities in the country, starting here in Colorado first. And so I'm gonna be working on that quite a bit. It's hard not to be a nerd and be passionate about AI and seeing it implemented well. I think I'm gonna lean in on that quite a bit, certainly my podcast and certainly helping businesses sell. So I guess I'm gonna stay diverse for a while.
Yeah, great. And
Yeah.
how can people get in touch with you, Anthony?
Oh, just howtofounder.com. My LinkedIn profile is right there on that page. So I'm right on the first page. Just click and link in with me and shoot me a message.
All right, awesome. Yeah, well, I appreciate you being on the podcast. You have a wealth of experience, and so it's very
Anytime.
valuable for our audience to hear everything that you had to share here. So thank you, Anthony.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a great conversation.
Okay, thank you. Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot. Post it to your favorite social platform or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.